Let it soak. We pataclusps don't go around capping off pyramids as though we were finishing off a garden wall. We don't knock off like a what's name in the night. People expect a ceremony. But I'm not listening. I've listened to too much of this newfangled stuff. Tomorrow. I've had the bronze plaque made and the velvet curtains and everything. One of the two A's shrugged. It's no good arguing with him, he said. I'm from 3 hours ahead. I remember this meeting. We couldn't change his mind. I'm from 2 hours ahead, said one of his clones. I remember you saying that too. Beyond the walls of the tent, the pyramid sizzled with accumulated time. There is nothing mystical about the power of pyramids. Pyramids are dams in the stream of time. Correctly shaped and orientated, with the proper paracosmic measurements correctly plumbed in, the temporal potential of the great mass of stone can be diverted to accelerate or reverse time over a very small area, in the same way that a hydraulic ram can be induced to pump water against the flow. Builders, who were of course ancients, and therefore wise, knew this very well, and the whole point of a correctly built pyramid was to achieve absolute null time in the central chamber, so that a dying king tucked up there would indeed live forever, or at least never actually die. The time that should have passed in the chamber was stored in the bulk of the pyramid and allowed to flare off once every 24 hours. After a few eons, people forgot this and thought you could achieve the same effect by A. ritual, B. pickling people, and C. storing their soft inner bits in jars. This seldom works. And so the art of pyramid tuning was lost, and all the knowledge became a handful of misunderstood rules and hazy recollections. The ancients were far too wise to build very big pyramids. They could cause very strange things, things that would make mere fluctuations in time look tiny by comparison. By the way, contrary to popular opinion, pyramids don't sharpen razor blades. They just take them back to when they weren't blunt. It's probably because of quantum. Tepic lay on the strata of his bed, listening intently. There were two guards outside the door, and another two on the balcony outside, and, he was impressed at Dios's forethought, one on the roof. He could hear them trying to make no noise. He'd hardly been able to protest. If black-clad miscreants were getting into the palace, then the person of the king had to be protected. It was undeniable. He slipped off the solid mattress and glided through the twilight to the statue of Bast, the cat-headed god, in the corner, twisted off the head, and pulled out his assassin's costume. He dressed quickly, cursing the lack of mirrors, and then padded across and lurked behind a pillar. The only problem, as far as he could see, was not laughing. Being a soldier in Djeli Baby was not a high-risk job. There was never a hint of internal rebellion, and since either neighbour could crush the kingdom instantly by force of arms, there was no real point in selecting keen and belligerent warriors. In fact, the last thing the priesthood wanted was enthusiastic soldiers. Enthusiastic soldiers with no fighting to do soon got bored and started thinking dangerous thoughts like how much better they could run the country. Instead, the job attracted big, solid men. The kind of men who could stand stock still for hours at a time without getting bored. Men with the build of an ox and the mental processes to match. Excellent bladder control was also desirable. He stepped out onto the balcony. Tepic had learned how not to move stealthily. Millions of years of being eaten by creatures that know how to move stealthily has made humanity very good at spotting stealthy movement. Nor was it enough to make no noise, because little moving patches of silence always aroused suspicion. The trick was to glide through the night with a quiet reassurance, just like the air did. There was a guard standing just outside the room. Tepic drifted past him and climbed carefully up the wall. It had been decorated with a complex bas-relief of the triumphs of past monarchs, so Tepic used his family to give him a leg up. The breeze was blowing off the desert as he swung his legs over the parapet and walked silently across the roof, which was still hot underfoot. The air had a recently cooked smell, tinted with spice. It was a strange feeling to be creeping across the roof of your own palace, trying to avoid your own guards, engaged on a mission in direct contravention of your own decree, and knowing that if you were actually caught, you would have yourself thrown to the sacred crocodiles. After all, he'd apparently already instructed that he was to be shown no mercy if he was captured. Somehow, it added an extra thrill